Let's please turn in your Bibles to Ezra chapter 4, verse 3, as we continue in our study in the book of Ezra. And last week, we saw that 50,000 Jews return to Israel and start to worship God on the Feast of Tabernacles. They had rebuilt the brazen altar. That was really all they needed to get started because it allowed them to sacrifice. And sacrifice, the shedding of blood, was the first thing in getting right with God. But they couldn't go into the temple like it was prescribed because the temple wasn't built. It was still destroyed, but they laid the foundation of the temple. The older people that came back knowing what it used to look like, what Solomon's temple used to look like, they're crying because it's like, wow, this is going to be nothing compared to what Solomon did. But the young people, we're just glad to be back in the land and on the way to planning to worship God the way God wanted them to. And so then as soon as the Jews are back in the land, starting to be obedient to God by building the temple, the enemies of God, the people that hate God in the area, Arabs, you know, same Arabs that are there today were there at the time. And they are not happy about the Jews being back in the land then, as they are not happy for the Jews to be back in the land now. Everything's repeating itself completely. In fact, there's going to be quite an interesting parallel that we're going to see in our study today and next week that I think is going to play into the last day scenario. And so they start to try and thwart the Jews. And what we saw in the concluding verses of our study last week is the first thing they tried to do, the first thing the enemy tries to do to thwart the work of God is to infiltrate. The Arabs said, hey, you're building your temple, you're building the city wall. Great idea. Let us help you. And Zerubbabel, the acting king, although he wasn't crowned king, he was only there leading the people as in the royal line, he saw through that and he goes, no, we want to have, you can have nothing to do with us. See, the first thing the enemy wants to do is infiltrate the church with traitors to the mission of the gospel. That's what he wants to do. We have to be aware of that and realize that, you know, Paul said it in Acts. He goes, even among you, people will rise up, wolves in sheep's clothing, that will come and bring the disciples after themselves to try and destroy the work of God. It's a tactic of Satan from the days of Israel here in 500 and some BC. It's a tactic today. So we're going to see that the Arabs further trouble them and actually caused the Jews to stop building the temple. So in Ezra 4:3, reviewing three verses here before we get into our study, but Zerubbabel and Yeshua and the rest of the heads of the fathers' houses of Israel said to them, after they said, let us help you, they said, you may do nothing with us to build a house for our God, but we alone will build to the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us. Then the people of the land tried to discourage the people of Judah. They troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And so they frustrated the Jews so much. And we don't know exactly what they said. They could have tried to bring bad building materials, harassed them during the day, told them things are going to happen. Why are you building this temple? You know, shouldn't you be building the wall in your own houses? Why don't you take care of yourself first? I mean, you got crops to do. Stop doing this. And there's people thwarting you. I mean, the enemy is trying to use people, places, and things. A lot of them may be speaking through a flat screen or whatever else, thwarting you from being serious about the Great Commission that we have today. To the point where, again, as we mentioned last week, and you know, there's an email that I read today where a guy was challenging a major ministry. These two guys were at each other. Can't tell you the details, but two ministry leaders were kind of at each other, and one was saying, "Hey, my 21 counselors have told me that, you know, this is what we all believe." And he goes, "Well, ask those 21. Do they go out and witness?" You know, I don't want to agree your counselors are counselors unless they're in the Great Commission. If they're not, you know, whatever. It's just kind of interesting to see this little dialogue. And, you know, and really in the church today, How many are serious about the Great Commission? And then if you ask why are we not involved in the Great Commission, and I, me included, I'm not involved in the Great Commission today as much as I know I should have been the second I'm being raptured into heaven. You ever think about that? The second I'm actually rapturing into heaven, I wasn't serious enough. That's what we're all going to be thinking. Yeah. I think that's what we're going to be thinking. If I would have, because I knew this was going to happen, I knew I was going to be in heaven with Jesus forever, but if I really knew it, in fact, the one way that really made this stick is, how many of you have seen the movie Schindler's List? I mean, it's a horrible movie. I was the last guy out of the theater. I'm weeping like a baby. they had to clean me out, get me out of there, because the horrors of the history of the Holocaust is what it's about. And Schindler was a guy who rescued Jews. And when he realized he succeeded and he got so many out, he goes, I could have hawked my ring. I could have got some more if I would have just hawked my ring. And that just so hit me. That people were willing to rescue at risk of their own lives, using their wealth to do it, and then realizing, and really without condemnation, even to myself, even though it's true, I haven't lived my life like to rescue people from eternal damnation, like the movie shows. I don't know what the real Schindler did, but like the movie shows, Schindler devoted his life to rescuing some Jews from the furnaces of the Holocaust, right? And see, the enemy is trying to thwart us. And we have to just constantly be aware, because otherwise we'll give up the mission of building the temple. And like I said last week, then it was a literal temple on Temple Mount in Jerusalem. For us, it's the temple that Jesus is trying to build of the souls, each soul being a brick to be a temple unto God. And he's using us to do it. That's what he's told us. That's why he told us, I want you to go out into the world and make disciples. So now I want you to skip to verse 24, because the Bible commentators, and if you have a good study Bible, it'll say, that the next actual verse 6 is, looking into the future. Verse 24 is looking into the past, because verse 24 really comes after verse 5. It says, thus the work of the house of God, which is in Jerusalem, ceased. They were thwarted to the point where they stopped. They just stopped building the temple. And that was in 534 BC, 2 years after they started. So they started in 536 BC. They stopped in 534 BC. They don't start again for 14 years. And so they're thwarted for 14 years. They're not building. And it was discontinued until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia, in 520 BC. So now going to verse 6. So they stop building, and then verse 6 is later on. They stop building, but the Jews do keep building their houses. They do start building. Instead of building the temple, they start trying to build the walls of Jerusalem. Because you don't want to stop building the walls. That's like, just in your house. You could build your whole house. How long is it until you put a front door on? I learned that. I shouldn't have waited as long as I did to put my garage door on when we were building our house, because, my generator took a walk. People got into my garage because I didn't have a garage door. And if you don't build the city wall, then you're going to get killed. Some marauding band of warriors is going to come by and kill you. So they're trying to build the wall. So now we shift to the building of the city. Verse 6, in the reign of Ahasuerus, and historians call him Cambyses, who succeeded Cyrus, not the Ahasuerus of Esther. This has nothing to do with the guy that's in the book of Esther. In the beginning of his reign, and he reigned from 530 to 522 BC, they wrote an accusation against these Arabs, wrote an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. So, 2 years of building the temple and just kind of living in the land. Now they're building the city, and they decide, we're going to write a letter. These Jews are getting too serious about building this city. And they see that Cyrus has been replaced by Cambyses. Now, Cyrus, they know Cyrus is the one that told the Jews to go back and rebuild. Just like the Arabs today know that Truman told the Jews that America considered the land of Israel to be for the Jews and for the Arabs, and agreed for the United Nations vote to partition Palestine for a state. And since then, every president has been friendly to the nation of Israel. But the Arabs also realize, oh, we got Obama in there. He secretly tells our people he's a Muslim, and so they've really been after him to make those Jews stop, make them stop. And they've been quite successful. So it's exact, again, history's repeating itself. Get a president in there. You know, they thought this Cambyses, he's going to be sensitive to our argument and make these Jews stop. So they, beginning there, they started trying to thwart the Jews. And in the days of the next king, Artaxerxes, which the historians know in history as Smerdis, which he only reigns for 7 months. But when Smerdis got in there, they said, this guy we know is going to shut the Jews down. So they definitely want to write a letter now. And so then a bunch of people and their companions wrote to Smerdis, Artaxerxes, king of Persia, and the letter was written in Aramaic script and translated into the Aramaic language. And Ruhim, the commander, and Shimshai, the scribe, wrote a letter against Jerusalem to King Artaxerxes in this fashion. Prevent building the temple now. Now it would be like, get the government to prevent preaching of the gospel. Yeah? We're going to write a letter to try and keep you from building the temple then. And today it's atheists and other people that hate God telling us to stop preaching the gospel. And then verse 9 is from all the people it comes from, and those guys really have got crazy names. And so there's a whole list of people, and they're saying the people of Persia and Iraq and Babylon and Shushan and the Dehavites and the Elamites, they're all in agreement with us. You need to stop the Jews. And what do we hear in the country today? You know, you Christians, you can't be so vocal because you offend what? The Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists. It's the same thing today. And, we're extremists. And the rest of the nations, whom the great and noble Osnapper, the Assyrian who brought these people into the land of Israel from foreign nations, you know, the immigration into the land is being the excuse now. You can't let the Jews be here and worship their God because there's other people here now. There's other people here that don't agree in worship of the Jewish God. You've got to stop letting these people be narrow-minded. We're a pluralistic society now. This is the copy of the letter that they sent to him. To King Artaxerxes, from your servants, the men of the region beyond the river and so forth. Let it be known to the king that the Jews who came up from you have come to us at Jerusalem and are building the rebellious and evil city and are finishing its walls and repairing the foundations. Now, you can see that this letter is about the city, the walls and the foundations of the walls of the city, not the temple. That's why we had to take verse 24 and bring it up, because they've abandoned the temple right at the opposition, and now this is about the walls, stopping the walls. What is the world telling the Jews to do today? And I mean, it's just amazing. It really is amazing. Abbas declared last week that, as I mentioned last week, that the Jews have to now go back to their 1948 boundaries. Not the 73 boundaries, not the 67 boundaries, but the 1948 boundaries. And he said that right after the Jews led a bunch of murdering Arabs out of their prisons as a token of their gesture of wanting to make peace. And then this week, you know, we've got Kerry over there, and this is the article today. This is November 6th, 2013, today. Headline today, Kerry urges Israeli settlement limits. U.S. Secretary of State meets PA, Palestinian Authority President Abbas, Prime Minister Netanyahu in Bethlehem, says Israel must limit settlement buildings for negotiations to work, stresses U.S. considers settlements as illegitimate, meaning illegal. So 2,500 years ago, letters are being written to the president, who has authority over some authority over the land, saying, you stop these Jews from continuing to build their nation. They keep them out of East Jerusalem. They don't own East Jerusalem. And we've already sided with Abbas that Jews have no right of East Jerusalem, their city, the Temple Mount. Keep them from building their West Bank settlements, Samaria and Judea and everything else. The whole world is agreeing with the Arabs to just stop the Jews. And history is repeating itself. Verse 13, let it now be known to the king that if this city is built and the walls completed, they will not pay tax, tribute, or custom to the king's and the king's treasury will be diminished. Topic number one, and any time you want to get somebody to be on your side, money. You'll lose money. These people, when they get done, they will stop paying any taxes. Now, because we received support from the palace, from you, it was not proper for us to see the king's dishonor. Therefore, we have sent and informed the king. Since we're on your welfare program, we would sure hate to see you lose tax revenue and not able to pay us as your great servants. Who is it in our country that loves to see despots continue to be ruling in this country? Who is it that loves the current liberal establishment? The people that are getting the handouts are the ones that hate us, that hate God's laws and everything else, because they just get to receive. Therefore, we have sent and informed the king that search may be made in the book of the records of your fathers, and you will find in the book of the records and know that this city is a rebellious city, harmful to kings and provinces, and that they have incited sedition within the city in former times, for which cause this city was destroyed. Why was the city of Jerusalem actually destroyed? Was it because they were seditious? No, it was sin. It was sin. In fact, you know, what's the problem with the world? Sin. I was, you know, swimming laps again the other day, and I decided to repent of my lack of, you know, just swimming and not sharing. And there was a lady there, and she was just talking, you know, I was kicking her, and she was talking about the election and Monsanto and the labeling of GMO and everything else. And she goes, this is such a beautiful planet, and it's being destroyed by humans. And I said... oh, it's not being destroyed by humans. She goes, no. And I go, no, it's being destroyed by sin. You know, sin is destroying this planet. Humans are okay. They're created by God. But it's sinful humans. That's what destroys this place. And so got to share a little bit about that. But, I could tell it was a shock. Sin, you know, mentioning the word sin. People that think, you know, isn't it interesting that people that think humans have destroyed this place, and the Georgia Guidestones, it says that, you know, the population should be reduced on the planet to 500 million people. And the people that say, yeah, that's what should happen, you know that they're thinking, kill them all. Leave me alone to live and enjoy this privileged planet. I was still in the water. Went back to swimming laps. But anyway... So, it was because they rebelled against God that the city was destroyed. It wasn't because of their sedition. It wasn't because of their sedition against Babylon. It was their sedition against God. You know, when we're seditious against God, bad things happen. You get kicked out of your house. You get kicked out of your, you know, everything. Everything goes bad when you're seditious against God. So they lied. That's not uncommon. We inform the king that if this city is rebuilt and its walls are completed, the result will be that you will have no dominion beyond the river. The Jews will take over everything west of the Euphrates, south and west of the Euphrates River. You let the Jews take an inch, they'll, you know, you give a Jew an inch, he'll take a mile. The king sent an answer to Rehum the commander and to Shimshai the scribe and the rest of their companions who dwell in Samaria and to the remainder beyond the river, peace and so forth. Isn't that? I wonder if it really meant, you know, peace and so forth. Forget all the other stuff. Just, yeah, blah, blah, blah. The letter which you sent to us has been clearly read before me, and I gave the command, and search has been made, and it was found that this city in former times has revolted against kings, and rebellion and sedition have been fostered in it. There have also been mighty kings over Jerusalem who have ruled over all the region beyond the river, and tax, tribute, and custom were paid to them. Yes, yes, you let these Jews prosper, and it'll be to the detriment of the kingdom. Because, you know, again, in Solomon's day, Solomon ruled that part of the world, and the people that were surrounded those nations lived in prosperity because of the Jews. And they did pay tribute. Now give the command to make these men cease, that this city may not be built until the command is given by me. Just as Obama and the world are doing today, as I said. The article from last week, October 30th, was U.S. opposes building in East Jerusalem. This was in YNetNews.com. On October 30th. After Israel announces intent to build some 1,500 housing units in East Jerusalem, U.S. State Department says settlement construction does not create positive environment for negotiations. And actually this week, the State Department said, we're going to give Abbas and Netanyahu a little bit more time to figure it out. And if they don't, then the United States will mandate a solution. In other words, Kerry is listening to both sides. And he's saying, you guys figure it out. And if you don't come up with a handshake agreement, we've already decided what the end picture is going to be if you don't figure it out. And we're going to mandate it on both of you. Now, it's interesting that this king that ends up giving this decree only ruled for 7 months. And he was replaced by another king. And again, history also shows that when somebody decides to say, stop doing what God has commanded the Jews to do, that bad things end up happening. And as many people have said, if we come solidly against God's divine purposes of bringing the Jews back into the land, then things are rapidly going to change in this country for the detriment of the country and the people that give those commands. So, again, verse 21, now give the command, make these men cease, that this city may not be built until the command is given by me. Well, he ends up going away. Verse 22, take heed now that you do not fail to do this. Why should damage increase to the hurt of the kings? Now, when the copy of King Artaxerxes, which again was in history with Smyrtus, letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai and the scribe and their companies, they went up in haste to Jerusalem against the Jews and by force of arms made them cease. Again, he only reigns for 7 months and his decree is superseded by the next king that comes along. So we've already done verse 24. It was, you know, out of sequence. Let's go to chapter 5. Then the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophets, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who was over them. And so let's read Haggai chapter 1. Let's read what they said. So the Jews have been building, they stop building the temple, they start building their homes in the city walls, then they get this decree that says that they're supposed to stop building the city. Now they haven't built the temple because of all the hassles there. Now they're not building the city because the king of Persia is going to kill them if they don't stop. And right then God sends prophets. God sends prophets and tells them basically, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, is what Zechariah said. And Haggai is a little bit tougher on them in explaining what they must do. He basically says, stop listening to the world tell you what to do. And stop worrying about the opposition. Haggai is hard to find. I always go to my table of contents. It's a lot easier. It's a lot easier that way. Haggai chapter 1, verse 1, it's one of the minor prophets, and actually it's Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. They're the they're the post-exilic prophets. So if you go to Matthew, the post-exilic prophets are Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And so you only got to go three minor prophets backwards from Matthew to find Haggai. So, Haggai chapter 1, verse 1, in the second year of King Darius. Now, Darius is the one that took over. Not the Darius of Daniel. It's a different Darius. This is Darius the Great, or the First. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, royal line, would have been king if they had the ability to make a king, and to Joshua, the son of Jehoiada, the high priest, saying, "Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." Well, we've been in the land for 14 plus years, 14, 15, 16 years. It's not time to build the temple. And Haggai says, "What?" Verse 3, "Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes." Yeah, you stop building the temple, and because, you know, people were opposing you, and so then you went off and did whatever you wanted to do. Built your houses, built the wall for a while until they stopped letting you do that. And so you're saying, "Oh, I'm going to put in all my time to grow my crops." But it's never satisfied. You're just thwarted. You got another job so you can make some more money, so you can pay for those extra toys that you're getting. And, you know, you got to do that on Sunday. But the money just goes through the holes in your pockets. And you're trying all this stuff. And what God goes on to say is, "I'm thwarting you. I am keeping, because you're not paying attention to what's important, building the temple." And for Christians, it's like you're not paying attention to what's important. I told you to go get fellowship with other crazy Christians and to be discipled into the Word of God so that you can reproduce, so that you can minister to that guy at work that I'm sending your way so that they can hear about Jesus. But you don't know what to tell them because you're not even walking with him yourself. And that's what he does, is he thwarts us. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Then he wanted the Jews to build a temple, so the Jews could stay a separate people and they could remember what it takes to deal with sin so they could have a right relationship with God. Then, building a physical temple. Us, to remember that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and he left us with a great commission. To be into what he told us to do. God says, go up on the mountain, get a tree. You know, that's not easy to go get a tree for the temple. And what Jesus says today is, be disciples. It's not easy to be a disciple. It's not easy to learn how, you know, the things of God's word, to get the strength and gumption up to share Jesus with somebody. It's not easy to do. It's hard to do. Even, no matter how long you do it, it's hard to do. But Jesus says, just go do it. Instead of just worrying about your own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withheld the dew and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and on the mountains, on the grain and on the new wine and on the oil and on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and on livestock and on all the labor of your hands. God will thwart a true believer. A child of his will be disciplined to be frustrated in everything they do until they do what God wants them to do. Is what I've learned, in my own self. just, you know, get can tell when I'm just more on what I want to do instead of what God wants to do. I can tell, man, there's just no satisfaction. It's just money flows through the pockets, just other stuff. And to just get back, you know, what God's doing is trying to bring us back. Going back to Ezra 5:1, again, Ezra says, then the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, sons of Iddo, prophets prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of God of Israel, who was over them. I would encourage you to read. Go back and read the prophets Haggai and Zechariah to see how they prophesied to the people to get on with the mission. And in your mind, say, them, temple, us, the Great Commission. Just in your mind, put it together. It's the same. So Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Yeshua, the son of Jezadak, rose up and began to build the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were with them, helping them. What we have to realize, the prophet to them was another chapter of the Word of God. I mean, what they came and did is they added a chapter to the Word of God that had never been read before. And so what allowed them to prosper is the people were listening to the Word of God. Again, if we're not reading the Word of God, if we're not letting the prophets speak to us, we're not going to have the conviction to do what God says. Because we forget about what God says. And the world says one thing, we hear them, and we're not hearing the prophets of the Word of God. So Zerubbabel had the courage to do what God wanted him to do because God was telling him through the prophets what to do. We can have the courage to do what God tells us to do when we have the courage and the willingness to pick up the prophets and listen to what God has to tell us to do. You don't read the Word of God, you'll start to, you know, go away from serving Him in your life. At the same time they start to have revival, guess what the devil does? At the same time, Tattenai, the governor of the region beyond the river, the one that the Persians had put in charge over the whole area west, south and west of the Euphrates River, and Shethar, Bozni, and their companions came to the Jews that were starting to build, and spoke thus to them, "Who has commanded you to build this temple and to finish this wall?" So they completely ignored the edict of the previous king and the opposition that they had experienced. They completely ignored it and just did what God told them to do. And who told you to do this? Then, accordingly, we told them the names of the men who were constructing this building. Now, you have to kind of read between the lines. The governor of the Persians, who had this edict to stop, went up there and said, "Wait a second. Okay, you guys are doing what the edict said not to do. Give me your names." Now, what are the Jews going to think? Give me your names. They're thinking, we're going to give them their names. They're going to go to the Persian king. And if the Persian king that just took over for the one that gave the edict agrees with the edict, we're all dead. Everybody that his name is given. And they just said, "But we have a prophet here. We have a prophet that commanded us to get going with what God told us to do. So I got a prophet saying to do it. I got the world saying don't do it. And they're wanting to take names. And so what do I? Here's my name." They gave all the names. Then accordingly, we told them the names of the men who were constructing this building, but the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews so that they could not make them cease till a report could go to Darius. Then a written answer was returned concerning this matter. This is the copy of the letter that Tattenai sent, the governor of the region beyond the river, and what's his face, his companion in Persians, who were in the region beyond the river, to Darius the king. They sent the letter to him in which it was written to Darius the king, "All peace. All peace," and so on and so forth. "Let it be known to the king that we went into the province of Judea to the temple of the great God, which is being built with heavy stones, and timber is being laid in the walls, and this work goes on diligently and prospers in their hands. Then we asked those elders and spoke thus to them, 'Who commanded you to build this temple and to finish these walls?' We also asked them their names to inform you, that we might write the names of the men who were chief among them." Now, we're expecting you to tell us to kill them as soon as you respond to this letter, and that's what we'll do. I mean, that's what's really implied in this. "And thus they returned us an answer, saying, 'We are the servants of God of heaven and earth, and we are building the temple that was built many years ago, which the great king of Israel built and completed.' Now, imagine what that part of the letter is intended to bring to the king of Persia. They're saying they're serving their God instead of you, the king of Persia. But because our fathers provoked the God of heaven to wrath, he gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and the Chaldeans, who destroyed this temple and carried the people away to Babylon. However, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Babylon, King Cyrus issued a decree to build this house of God. Also, the gold, the silver, the articles, and everything that Nebuchadnezzar had stole, Cyrus said to give back to us, which they did. Verse 15, and he said to him, take these articles, go, carry them to the temple site that is in Jerusalem, and the house of God be rebuilt on its former site. Then the same Sheshbazzar came and laid the foundation of the house of God. He's probably the general that came back with Zerubbabel, which is in Jerusalem. But from that time, even until now, it has been under construction and it is not finished. Now, therefore, if it seems good to the king, let the search be made in the king's treasure house, which is there in Babylon, whether it is so that a decree was issued by King Cyrus to build the house of God at Jerusalem, and let the king send us his pleasure concerning this matter. So that letter went to King Darius. Darius put out the search for the records. The records show, yep, exactly what they said. So King Darius, he seconded the decree of Cyrus. He reinstitutes the decree of Cyrus to tell the Jews, you build, no one else is able to thwart you, taxes come to help you, etc., etc., etc. And today the world is telling the Jews, you can't build a temple, you can't build on the West Bank, you can't build East Jerusalem. What do we know is going to happen? We know the geopolitical situation of the world is going to change, and I know we're late here. It's going to change, and the Jews are going to be allowed to build a temple. And as I've said before, the Jews really expect and anticipate that the man who lets them build the temple is going to be their Messiah. And you know what? The Jews will be using this section of Scripture to tell the other Jews, see, look, it's repeating. We've been opposed by Obama and by the world and the United Nations and the Arabs. And God has given us favor, and all the Arabs have been, most of the Arabs have been destroyed in the Psalm 83, Isaiah 17, Ezekiel 38, 39 war. The world has changed its opinion, reversed their decree that we can't build, and told us, go ahead and have your nation, have your temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And they're going to be going back to this section of history, and they're going to go, look, God has given us this favor by bringing us this Messiah that has allowed us to build our temple. It's going to be amazing. They'll be thinking history's repeated. They'll be, let's see. I'm going to read two of the eight examples in case you didn't get this handout on Sunday. I know we're late, but you got to hear this. The soldiers at Fort Hood were instructed that evangelical Christians are a threat to the nation. That was on October 17th. On October 17th, evangelical Christians are a threat to national security at a military installation. What does that mean? Stop being an evangelistic Christian. Stop being a Christian that tells people that they need Jesus. During a recent U.S. Army briefing, the American Family Association was identified as a domestic hate group. Number three, Maybe four. A battalion commander assigned to the 101 First Airborne Division at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, sent out a mass email to those under his command last year that included the Christian Right, the Family Research Council, Focus on the Family, that they're all domestic hate groups. And an unclassified guide for military leaders that was published in August 2011 identifies those that exhibit extreme religious intolerance. What does that mean? Jesus is the only way to be saved. As potentially violent radicals. If you claim that your faith is the only true faith, like most believing Christians, you would be put into this category. There's eight of these recently. And I equate that to the same as what's happening here. Do not. Do not be a fundamentalist, Jesus is the only way, radical Christian. You're a threat to national security. We have the prophet saying, do. We got the world saying, don't. And what are we going to do? When they're taking names, whoa, who are you? I'm Kevin Lee, saved by the blood of Jesus, adopted into the family of God, heading to heaven. Are you going to send me there? that's our mission. We just trust God, live for Him, let their cards fall where they may. We just got to do what Jesus tells us to do. Father, we thank you for your word. Pray that you just help us to be courageous, Lord, and not worry about the crazy world and where it's going and what it says to do, but to be just like the Jews under the leadership of the prophets, God, and to just start trusting you to do what you've commanded us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes. Okay, we'll make more of these. They're on our website too, I think. Yeah. What did somebody say? Something? Oh, Jeannie. Jeannie's responsible, so if it doesn't happen, it's her fault.
Let's stand, worship God.
He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. Risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. Risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Even those hate groups.
Yeah, every knee is going to bow. It's either now and get saved or then and be judged. God bless you. Keep you in His care this week as you serve Him.